You're listening to Fritz and Friends on more compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS.
And welcome back to Fritz and Friends. Cheryl Fritz here, along with Scott Eckersley, producing 1320 WILS and streaming live on 1320WILS.com. Going out on the phone this evening to Democratic Representative Mark Meadows of East Lansing. Good evening, sir. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. How are you, Cheryl?
I appreciate you coming back. When we left last night, as always, we ran out of time, and I thought it was important to talk about a request that you made to the Attorney General on a couple of the bills with have to do with the governor's budget proposal. The one first that related to the emergency financial manager, am I correct on that?
Yes, you are, actually. And, you know, the question I asked the Attorney General was whether we could just cancel contracts the way that is proposed in this legislation. And, of course, the Attorney General declined to answer that question, but I'm hopeful that I sent him a letter today reminding him that a state statute requires him to answer our questions. So I'm hoping that I do get an answer eventually. But we have a constitutional provision that says that, you can't impair the, a contract and apparently, we're going to allow a financial manager to do that. So I'm concerned about that, given that this bill has now been signed into law.
And that's what I was just going to ask. You found a constitutional provision that says you're not allowed to do, you believe, what the emergency financial manager's bill says that they can do.
That's right. In both the federal and the state constitution, there is a provision that says you can't, government can't, impair the obligation of a contract. So if a contract says, you can give me 30 days notice and the contract can be terminated, that's one thing. But what the financial manager has been empowered to do is just simply to cancel contracts. If it's a contract for janitorial services, if it's a contract to buy pencils for the city hall, they can just cancel it, even though it may have many months or years to run.
Now, and your concern in part in some of what I read about it, you talked about the fact that you just felt that these proposals, and you called them potentially damaging proposals, are just being rushed through the legislature too quickly, and that's part of the problem.
Yeah, I think it is part of the problem. You would like to think that we would spend months on something as important as an issue about when and how we appoint someone to really with powers to say that the city council can no longer sit, the mayor can no longer do anything, that can sell off all of the assets of a city. So, we don't have to worry about Grosbeck Golf Course anymore. If there was a financial manager here, an emergency financial manager, they could just sell it without the public having a say in it. So I am very concerned about the powers that have been given to this individual, and certainly in terms of the constitutionality of it. But also, I think we all agree that we'd like to see earlier intervention when there is a financial crisis in any of our communities, but this goes way beyond that. And, I think that some advice from the Attorney General would have been very helpful before the vote took place.
Now, and did you or have other representatives or senator ask for that advice before, or this all just happened so quickly you're now asking?
Well, as soon as the bill was, I saw that the bill was going to be starting to move, I did ask for advice from the Attorney General. So, yes, we promptly asked for that. There's another bill out there that I asked for advice on, and I haven't heard anything back on that, but that bill has not been passed yet. So,
and that's 4152?
Right.
And
that's it.
Go ahead.
That's the bill that would suspend step increases anytime, if those were part of a compensation package, anytime that a contract expired, so that during the course of a negotiation you couldn't continue to receive scheduled step increases. I think that also impairs the obligation of a contract because those step increases are really part of a contractual agreement that would still be in place.
And as part of that, you're making sure that whether the bill encroaches on that Civil Service Commission's constitutional authority.
Correct, because that's another element of this. The Civil Service Commission under our Constitution really has absolute power over compensation and wages. and we have a very limited ability to impact that, and that's within 60 days of a budget being proposed that has an increase in it. We can reject the increase. And that this step increases were really negotiated several years ago, so that's not something that would really come into play.
Boy, these are complicated times we live in.
They sure are. I'm more complicated every day, I have to say.
Yeah, I'm, so it's not just me. I mean, when I'm going to talk to somebody like you, I do my very best to get prepared and read everything I can get my hands on, and I'm reading through all of this. I have to tell you, my hat's off to you.
Yeah, well, I should send you a copy of the new tax bill that the governor's put out, because, you know, they talk about the 1,000-page bill in the federal government, the health care bill, but, you know, this thing is like an inch and a half thick, and when I was done reading it, I thought, man, it should have been in chapters. I should have been able to read this over like a month or something.
Mark, that would put me under. that one would put me under. While we got a couple of minutes left, the census numbers came out today. What are the numbers when you see, and that's another great, I printed that off. My poor printer's still smoking. What do those numbers mean as you start to digest them?
Well, I would say that some of the numbers were tremendously shocking. You know, the fact that the city of Detroit now has a population of 713,000 people. You know, when I was a kid, they were about they were over 1.5 million, and it's roughly 50% the size it was just a few years ago when I was a little boy. Actually, I'm much older than that. But also, the Ingham County stayed about the same in terms of population. We did see tremendous increases in population in, say, Livingston, Washtenaw, Macomb. So you can see where that Detroit population has been moving in southeast Michigan, moving out to the adjoining counties. And the ultimate effect of that is going to be that I think we're going to see a proposal anyway to reduce the number of seats in the House that are attributed to Detroit anyway, probably by a couple. We'll probably see a Senate seat lost there as well and moved sort of out into the suburbs to follow that population shift. And that's how it happens, you know, across the state. I like to think that it's not gerrymandered in any way, but, you know, we do have to have equal population as nearly as possible in each of our House districts. And it looks like we're going to end up with just about 90,000 in every district as a result of this this census. And that will mean that, you know, all of us could see a few parts of our current district move to other districts.
Well, and redistricting, that'll be the next subject you and I are talking about.
that could come up a lot faster than we think.
Well, I think it is. There's all kinds of different ways on the book to have this done, including a one for the public to get involved in and draw up. So that's going to be interesting. The numbers in Detroit, as you said, the 713,000, I read that was the lowest number in Detroit for population since 1910 was the last time they were at those. That is shocking. Shocking is the appropriate word. You've got I know coffee hours are big, and you have a lot of constituents come out. You have one coming up.
I do have one coming up on Friday in Williamston. It's the breakfast place right on Grand River there by the Red Cedar Grill, and I'll be there at 7:30. So everybody's welcome to come out.
And you'll explain that all of this legislation to us, even that inch and a half thick one, right?
That's right. I'll try anyway.
I'll be your sidekick, and I'll try to help too. Oh, good luck.
All right. Thanks.
Mark, as always, thank you for your time. As I said, these are complicated issues, and the better we can get through them and understand them, the better off we are, and you help with that a great deal.
All right. Thanks, Cheryl. Have a great night.
You as well. Representative Mark Meadows from East Lansing. We'll be back with more Fritz and Friends after this.